Amen. And I left off in the New Testament in the book of Romans. Everybody say the book of Romans. You know, Romans is one of my favorite books because it really opens up doors in my life about what God's grace is doing in me and what he's done, all about the finished work of the cross. And everything that he ever is going to do and going to do is already done in that word. Amen? Isn't that true? But there's been some concern because Paul had that concern. You're going to have that concern because you're going to wonder, why do I do what I do when I don't want to do it? Amen. Anybody do anything this week that you didn't want to do? Yeah. Come on now. Everybody's hand should be raised up. Otherwise, we're going to come up and have a prayer of deliverance for being a liar. Amen. I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm loving on you. Amen. And I know when the anointing comes on me, I know that the Spirit of God is here. Amen. And God has something to say. Turn with me in the book of the Romans in the 7th chapter. And I want to pick up where I left off last week. In fact, the service was so good, I couldn't even preach. I mean, God just moved in a supernatural way through everybody. Amen. And you know, body ministry is important because when God exalts body ministry and moves in a service, you don't need to preach. People get their needs met. You don't even need to preach. Amen. Because the word comes forth through the people because the hearts of the people are speaking the word. Amen. I've heard people get up and testify under the anointing. That's why I've learned not to shut them down. When you get the anointing on them and they got a word, you better listen. And any pastor that's in control of the service should know that. Because God wants to speak through that person. Amen. And if anything I want to do, I want to move in the Spirit. It's not about me or totally about you, but it's about what God's doing through us. Amen. And last week was just phenomenal. It was just awesome. It was, you know, and it seems like every service we have, it's totally different. And it's exotic in the Lord. Amen. And I'll tell you what, there's people walk out of here with things broken off their life. And I don't mind telling you, when you get a strong word from God, the devil will attack you. Amen. I know several of you have been under siege because you got a strong word from God. Isn't that right, Dave? Because the enemy came against you this week. Isn't that right? And he tries to strike at you at your weakest point. I want to tell you something. Don't give up. He might show something ugly about you. But God is going to work it out of your life. If there's something that needs to be taken out, he's going to work it out of your life. You know why I know that? Because he's been doing it to me. Amen. I'll tell you what, I seen a guy about my age, and he looked pretty slender, you know. And I don't know if he'd been losing weight or anything, but he looked good. But what he's been showing me is these old guys with these six-packs. I'm not picking on anybody. You know, I've been overweight for a long time in my life. But I'm going to tell you, I said, no, God, you don't want me to go there, do you? Really? And you know what he told me? Why not? Do you hear me? He said, you lost all this weight. Why don't you tighten up that tummy? How many knows that when God gets you to a certain level, he don't stop? Amen. And, you know, I mean, it's funny, but yet God is dealing with me. Can I do it? Well, I did this. I went this far. That's what the Lord told me. You went this far. Why not? You know, I expect that from God, don't you? Amen. And it's not vanity. It's not. It's just being about being healthier. That's all. And I'm 60. And I want to live as long as I can, right? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. I will get on the word here. Now, 14th verse, Romans, the 7th chapter, 14th verse. I'm going to read through this here real quick. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And I explained that last week, that you were born in sin and your flesh knows how to sin. Your nature, the very nature of your sin, of your flesh, is to want to sin and please itself. Amen? Amen. Okay. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do not, or that for what I would that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Now, it sounds a little confusing, but you do what you don't want to do, and what you want to do, you don't do. All right? Sounds like a war to me, a war against your flesh, isn't that right? If then I do what which I would not, I consent unto the law that is it is good. Isn't that right? Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. In other words, everything we do in our flesh that's not good, it's because of the sin that dwells in me. Do we have to? Well, that's what I'm going into this for. No, we don't. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good things, for to will is present with me. In other words, whether you know it or not, hey, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, you have a choice. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. God, I couldn't tell you how many times God was trying to get my attention. Look, you don't have to do that. It's a choice. Okay, now listen. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. One thing he noticed, that when I'm doing good, there's always something else that's there that can cause you to do evil. Isn't that right?
Right.
Amen. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, everybody's heart here is born of God, does not want to sin. In fact, I can't enjoy sin anymore. I could go and get the buzz off of it. I can go in a bar and drink a six-pack and get a buzz. But when I'm done, I can't stand myself. And so goes everything else that goes with it. See, and that's exactly where the devil wants to keep you. He wants you to keep you in the flesh so you wouldn't have what God has for you from the inward man. What Paul is bringing out is you have a man that is inside you that's born in the likeness of Jesus and has empowered you to be able to overcome the flesh.
Amen.
And you do not have to obey it. Amen. But, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. If your mind is thinking junk, you're going to do junk. If it thinks about sex and naked women, what? Did I just say the wrong thing? I don't know if you know this or not, but it's all around you. Amen. You know? And so are the guys for the women. I've heard women say, well, how come they don't have any naked pictures of men? Kind of makes you disgusted. Well, you're in the flesh when you're thinking that. It's not a God thing. But how many women have been challenged with that? Well, they're always showing some pretty woman. What about some masculine man? You know, because I think it's the weakest part of the flesh. And where the devil can get men, he can get to them quicker than he can the women. And he, you know, it's just like if you throw a ball, if you throw a curveball and you have a certain way to do it, and every time you do it, it does it good. That's Satan's strategy. Amen. Isn't that right? But I think that's the number one area that the devil's having a heyday in America, as well as any other country. That pornography is a very, very bad thing. But yet it seems good to your flesh. You can really enjoy it. Isn't that right? Does that mean it's right?
No.
But there is a person inside of you that's stronger than that. That has already overcome the world and have given you the victory. Amen. And I'm going to show you something here in Scripture. And I believe, there's a lot of people in here been through this teaching before, but I believe it's important even for the younger ones, and it's important for the elders to be reminded of this, because how many times we made bad choices? We have to be on attention here, because I'm telling you, the devil's taking down the best of the rest, if he can get them. Now, I'm not lifting up the devil. He's a snake and a liar. He don't mean nothing to me. But it's important that we know the devil's devices and how he takes you down. And you, when you do it, you think, oh, it isn't that big. You know, God knows I love him. Until after you do it, and then you're messed up. Because the wages of sin is death. You reap the results. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Now, here's your answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then when the mind of myself served the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So there's two laws in operation. You have to be mindful of what God wants you to do from the inward man rather than giving in to the passions of the flesh through the desires of the fleshy man. Amen? Therefore, or there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's two laws in operation. Look at your neighbor and say, there's two laws in operation. You may think that this is very elementary, but I'm going to tell you something. This is the number one problem in the body of Christ today. And if we don't become aware of it and do something about it, we will not walk in victory for the rest of our lives. How many here want to walk in victory in their life? Then we have to choose that we're going to walk after the inward man and not after the man of the flesh. How do we do that? Well, the Bible is very... and that's what I like the Word of God for, because it goes into things that lets you know what the flesh is and what the Spirit is. Amen? Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Has. Now, I know there's some things in our lives that we have certain quirks and habits that we know isn't right. God has convicted it wasn't right. But yet you say, someday I'll overcome this. What? If you that way, you ain't never going to overcome it. Someday. What's someday? What do you mean someday? You have already overcame it. You're just not walking in it. You're not looking at it with a renewed mind. You've already been set free from everything you ever done in the past, future, or present. You've already overcame. And God has placed that within your spirit, the ability to do it. Look at your neighbor and say, I can walk in victory in every area of my life. You ever been tempted not to pay a bill? Yeah. You know, I've cried to God to get all the money I needed to pay my bills, got the money and say, ah, I want to go do this. I don't want to go do that. Oh, then you're crying out to God for deliverance. Well, I don't need deliverance. I pay my bills every week. I don't have no problem. Well, you may not have problems with your bills, but you may have some problems in some other areas. Amen. Amen. Okay, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. You couldn't carry out what was right and what's wrong in your own strength. It takes the power of God. Now look at your neighbor and say, it takes the power of God. I'll tell you one thing. For me to walk away from cigarettes took faith in believing that God delivered me from. Now you might think this is pride or this is foolish. But it is prideful to say, well, I can quit anytime I want. Because you're relying on your own strength. There's some people that can. Did it please God? No. I've seen people walk away from a lot of things that's not a hard. Yeah, it pleases God that you're not doing it, but it didn't give God glory. Amen? And there's, how many have settled the fact where you just can't overcome it? That's not true. That's why I don't agree with Alcoholics Anonymous. I know that they have good things. I know they use the Word of God in some things, but I don't go around confessing I'm an alcoholic. Once I have been delivered, I am no longer an alcoholic. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with sitting into an AA meeting or having teaching about overcoming alcoholism. You know, but if it don't line up with the Word, I disagree. It's not about AA. It's about the Word. Isn't that right? Everything has to take first place in your life. Because if you're going to have victory in your life, you got to place the Word, the most utmost sufficient thing in your life. And you got to press toward that mark to the high calling in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, you can do it. The Bible says I can do, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he was talking about that. He was actually talking about money. He said, I've been poor and I've been rich, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Believe me, I've been poor long enough at serving God. Amen. And I can do it without being prideful. But I can be rich too and do it without being prideful. Amen. Did I fall in some ditches? Yes, I did. I went and spent it on something else. Did God quit me? No, he didn't. He just gave me another chance. Isn't that right? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son. Now, you got to keep focused on Jesus, because Jesus is your strength. He is your source. He is the reason why you have any victory in your life. And it's utmost, and it amazes me how many people walk as mere men in the body of Christ and don't rely on the power to get victory in every area of their life. Because this is our call. We're called to fight the good fight of faith and to walk in victory free from the obstacles of this world. Say amen or oh me. He sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, did you know that Jesus actually became sin? I've had preachers come at me over that. He didn't sin. I said, I didn't say he sinned. I said he became sin. Why? So he could take authority over it. Amen. Righteousness takes authority over things, especially if you have a man. Jesus had to become a man to take up where Adam left off. He lost in the garden experience, lost the blessing of God, what we call today the blessing of Abraham. Now I'm going to keep preaching this until we all get it. You got it? Amen. All right. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now you got to know what the Spirit is. Jesus said, my words are spirit in their life. If you want to know what the Spirit is, it's his word. Now the Holy Spirit has sent to us as a paraclete to lead us into all truth and to be a source of strength. Isn't that right? Right. To succor us in times of temptation and need. At that time of temptation and need, you can call on God for strength and rebuke that temptation in the flesh. That's the time you do it. People that fall into the weakness of flesh, they're not being, the love of God is not being perfected in them, and they're not involved in spiritual warfare. You got to understand that every believer has to understand spiritual warfare to walk in victory and come to that higher place in God. You have to. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to. There's times you have to call out on God. You got to pray and ask God, what did Jesus do in the garden? He prayed. He got after his disciples because it couldn't take 1 hour to pray with them. I think that's why they didn't overcome the flesh when they came into time. If they had prayed for an hour, and I've heard this, people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I do. If they would have prayed 1 hour with him in that garden, they would have had the victory just like he did. They didn't even know what kind of a decision they would have to come when the temptation got hard. I'm going to tell you something. Those disciples, you're not exempt. You're going to go through things just like those disciples are going to go through. Don't get mad at me just because I'm preaching real hard. Amen. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. And there's some things I need to walk away from, and I haven't. And I have to be honest with myself. One thing, I went to an AA meeting here not too long ago. And one of the things that came out of me, and I knew it was God, and it's a truth that they hold to. If you cannot be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody else. Well, I said, wow, where did that come from? Come from the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ has to come to, they have to learn to reconcile with themselves, to understand and to accept truth as it really is. The reality of the matter of the fact is that if we don't do what God wants us to do after the inward man, we won't have victory over the areas of our flesh to do what the flesh wants to do. And, you know, and Peter, he denied Christ three times and said, I never knew the man. He just got done telling him, Jesus, you know I love you. I'll never reject you. Isn't that right? And you'll find yourself in that same place, spirit-filled. Because I'm going to tell you something. The number one place that Satan's after is your behavior, the way you think, and what you say out of your mouth. I've give up some of the best blessings in my life because of my mouth.
Amen.
And if you don't keep your mind renewed to it, you won't say the right things in a time of temptation.
Right.
Will you, Jeff?
Right.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Whoa. But go, whoa. All right, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Your natural thinking will think counterize with the Word of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's pretty strong. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Who is in here that claims to be born again? Let me see your hands. Hey, everybody in here, except for Linda. You didn't raise your hand. Oh. In the Spirit, but if you're... Okay. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell... That's why I asked you, but if the Spirit of God dwelleth in you... Now, what that's telling you right there, if you got the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you have a choice. I found out about smoking. I had a choice. You know how I overcame? I loved tobacco. I could chew it. I could eat it. I loved blowing smoke rings. I liked Marlboro. Red box. Didn't care how much it cost. Give me some. Did you ever give up something you love? Huh? He that loveth me.
Did you bug Denise's car?
No, I didn't.
Because I just told her this morning that since my brother has only been smoking for 2 months, and this time around is so much harder than the first time.
Everybody say, good. See, the law of the Spirit of life has been birthed in you. You're not going to be satisfied with anything less than that. God put a dissatisfaction in your spirit. You're not going to be the same. You might as well let it all hang out, baby. You got it?
Got it.
Ricky. You're called to minister to some of the hardest people there is to get to. And God is looking for you to come up spiritually in your life to the place that you denounce that stuff that holds you in bondage and keeps you fulfilling the glory that God has placed within you to have the victory that you have need of in your life. God has given within you the ability to see the victory, and you're drawn by it and you desire it and you thirst after it. And I don't apologize. Well, I apologize, but I don't say I'm sorry. When I upset somebody for the right reason or for the wrong reason. But when I upset somebody for the right reason, I don't apologize. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So the number one thing is to get born again. I know, Beth, you are born again. I see it. And nobody's trying to lay the law down on you here. Whatever's bothering you is because you're bothering yourself. Thank God for your conscience, because it glows. It is full of the life of God in you. Amen. And it's wanting to come out. It's knocking on that door. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. Don't be afraid to move into them higher place that God's placed you in, because God has got something much better. You never give up something in the flesh that God doesn't have something much better to go to. I don't care where you're at in God. And when you get there, God's got somewhere else you've got to come up in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Oh, by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, God will give you the anointing to walk above your circumstances and situations and walk free from that thing. But you have to place your faith on Jesus.
Come on.
And the delivering power. You know what it does? He glorifies your spirit, makes you one of his, then he wants to come out of your mouth and start spreading all that good stuff. Put you on the spot where God has to move, or you're going to quit. That's why we have so many people walk out the door, because they get offended by the word. Jesus told John the Baptist, blessed are they who are not offended by my word. He got offended. Oh, are you really Jesus? He was locked up. He questioned Jesus. Did you know that? John the Baptist. And he looked at John and said, he that is not offended in me is the same as blessed. So whatever you're going through is where you're supposed to be. I'd have laughed and jumped and danced all the way to the place where they cut my head off. That sounds easier said than done, but I'll tell you what. If I knew that Jesus had just told me that, I know one thing. He'd deliver me. And maybe if he stood on the glory of God, he might have got delivered or taken to heaven. What's the difference?
Sure. Amen.
Duh. You know. That is strong. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, see the depth that Paul's going to? Man, that spirit raised Jesus from the dead. All right, dwell in you. He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But, I like that word, but and if. Two words I like the most in the Bible is I will. Strongest two words in English language. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So there's a choice. Look at your neighbor and say, there is a choice. So there's the line. There's the line of demarcation. There's the choice. Look at Jesus and see what Jesus brought to you in deliverance. Meditate on the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians and see how far he went. one of the first times I ever realized I wasn't poor anymore. I'm not going to be poor no more. Oh, I'm telling you, I don't have to be sick no more. Now, I know there's a few religious people out there that say we go to the extreme. Yes, I go to the extreme. Yes, 1,000 times yes, I go to the extreme. Thank you. Amen. Because from here on out, God will pay every bill you got.
Amen.
If you stand on Jesus. You quote that scripture to every neighbor you go to, he became poor that I might become rich. I'm rich. Look at your neighbor and say, this is important. Because too many of us stay in the valley of indecision. And that's what hurt us. It's not enough to know the truth. It's not enough. It's doing the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. Therefore, brethren, are we debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh? For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There you are the manifested. You ever remember there was a strong teaching on it, the manifested sons of God? I believe in that. I believe we're coming to a time in the church where we're going to see the manifestation of the sons of God. And we're seeing it a lot in ministries today. And I know I keep mentioning it. Kenneth Colton's one of them. You ever felt envious? That's good, because that's what God's doing to you. He's causing you to envy, because that's where you want to be. And I know exactly what's kept me from being there. My thinking hasn't been right. I've been drawn by my own fleshly desires, and I have not made the choice when it comes to time of battle. When Satan raised his ugly head to get you to do what he wanted you to do. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that what Jesus did in the garden? He cried, Daddy, help me. I don't know if I can handle this. But then when he got the revelation, he got empowered. The Bible said that God sent multitude of angels and strengthened him in the garden. And Jesus willed the fact that he will do, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Because there's things in your life that you will that's against God, and it's enmity towards God. Isn't that right? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Being a child of God doesn't necessarily mean that we're a manifested son of God. The manifested sons of God are about to take first place in the world, because the world is so broken that the only thing that's going to work is the manifested sons of God. Because we're not subject to the law of the flesh. We have the law of the spirit of life. See, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from all these things that Jesus delivered me from. It may seem that way for a while. I believe I had a word from God here in the past where God was going to place you in a place where you're going to make more money than you ever made in your life. It's progressive. If you decide you're going to serve God, you're in it for the long haul. You're going to stay put until you get to the place where God leads you to go. If you get a vision of God where he wants to place you, you hang on to the altars of God and stay with it with God. You will get there. Look at your neighbor and say, I will get there.
I will get there.
Because I'm going to tell you something. God already sees you there.
Let's stand in the presence of God. I can't go any farther. I got a whole lot more I'm going to go to next week.